Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise, if you will. Amen. You may be seated for just one moment. Let me first give honor to God, who is certainly the head of our life, and we are happy to be here to celebrate 30 years of ministry with the Bible Way Church of Sumter with Bishop Belton and First Lady Belton. Amen. Come on, let us give God a praise for the leadership of this church. Amen. For all of the members and the leaders of this great church, it is good to be here. To our good friend, Elder Eric Rush, who we will always be grateful for you for that wonderful video that we have of Bishop Jackson. It was not only Eric's production, but it was his brainchild. They put it together, and we'll always have Bishop a part of us. So thank God for Brother Eric, Elder Eric Rush, and this family. And we wanted to be here 30 years. I look back, Pastor Lawson, and says, I can't believe it's been that long. For I remember driving Bishop when he first came down to Sumter, and he was convincing Joyce and, I say affectionately, John, to leave Columbia and come to Sumter. And Bishop and I came to check out the territory, Sister Mary Helms, at the time. And it was a little building on South Street, South Main Street. And pulled up in the building, and I think it was Deacon Brown at the time who said to Bishop before he came, I want to show you what God has given us, and we got a fantastic building. We're going to start. And we went and looked in the building by the falling through the floor, and I said, oh, my God, what does he see? And Bishop says he sees what nobody else could see. I said, he's speaking faith, amen. And we were praying, and Bishop was in the car, and I was about my son's age, Antoine. He was going to pray with me. I've got to convince John and Joyce to come down and to take this ministry. And I prayed hard, and I was saying, thank God it's John and Joyce and not Darren Willie May at the time. Okay, at the time, because it took faith to leave where you are familiar and to come to a place where they didn't have family here. It wasn't that they were relocating into their home. And Sumter is a beautiful town, and it has grown now in a tremendous way, and thank God for Sumter. But Bishop was a visionary, and people then, when they went and they started ministries, they didn't start with somebody else's members. They didn't have to split churches up to do what God had called them to do. When Bishop sent you out, he sent you out with you and your wife and your children, amen, and a whole lot of prayer. And he came down and raised one initial offering for you. And he says, now let God have his way, amen. And they did a tremendous job and moved from that location to where they are now. And he tells me they're about to break ground on a fellowship hall that they're going to build behind this building. So we ought to give God a hand of praise, amen. Amen. It takes faith to do what God has called you to do. And sometimes it's not easy, but it takes faith. So we're happy to be here. To those from Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, thank you so much. I know it's been a busy weekend. Our deacons had their very successful, famous barbecue and was up all Friday night and Saturday. And we had a three-hour funeral yesterday and had church at 8 and 11 this morning. But we wanted to be here today just to say thank you. Amen. Amen. So if I don't hoop and holler a whole lot, then you know. But I do have a word from the Lord for you. Now let me say also, I'm so grateful to all of those from Sumter who so faithfully fellowship at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road. And it's good for us to come here. So now we know that right, Mary and Robert and others that are there. So I thank God so much for them and how God has put them in our life. And I thank God for the ministry that God has given us. Amen, somebody. To the mothers and to the deacons and to the pastors and all of you, God bless. I want to recognize, of course, my First Lady, who has been my First Lady now. Amen. Come July 6th, it will be 35 years. Amen. So I thank God so much. Amen. Amen. Mother Jackson and the Church of Mothers, we recognize them. We always recognize the matriarch of this ministry, for Mother Jackson, who was there at the beginning, with Bishop Jackson. Thank God. Amen. There's a word from the Lord in this house, and if you would rest upon your feet as we share the word. Pastor Rush shared with us the theme that God had given you for this year of 2015, which was entitled Transforming Lives. Transforming Lives. What a powerful and great theme. And even your scripture reference was from the book of Joel, chapter 2. And so with that in mind, God has given me instructions to go there this afternoon and share this message that is found in the second chapter of the book of Joel, verses 25 to 28. Joel's chapter 2, verses 25 to 28, the King James Version, and it reads, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts had eaten, crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts." Somebody say locusts, locusts. "My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." Verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward," somebody say afterward, "that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that shall come forth on today. Let these words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, Lord, let it be pleasing in your sight. Bless the word that shall go out, and we know that it will not return void, but that it will encourage someone, it will challenge someone, and we will leave here knowing that we have heard a word from you. This is our prayer. In Jesus the Christ's name, we pray and give thanks. And the church said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Listen, once again, he says this word. He says, the Lord says that I will restore unto you the years that the locusts had eaten. One translation says, and the cankerworm and caterpillar and all that they destroyed. But then verse 28 says this. He says, it shall come to pass that afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and then your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Note, it says, after the locust and the caterpillar and cankerworm, after all of those things, then I'm going to do something that only God can do. Catch somebody by the hand and bless the subject into someone's spirit. Squeeze those hands and say, the process of transformation. Amen. The process of transformation. Now look behind you and tell somebody, it's not always pleasant. Not always cute, but it's a process that will lead to your transformation. Any witnesses in here? Listen, it has been said that sometimes in life, our greatest opportunities comes out of our most painful experiences. I have come to realize that what we sometimes call devastation is often the very reason for our transformation. In other words, if it had not been for that, you would not be where you are today. Any witnesses? And it wasn't pleasant, and it wasn't good, and it was painful, but it helped move you on to where God wanted you to be. And so every now and then, we ought to really get on the devil's nerve and thank God for pain. And thank God for naysayers, and critics, and those folk who pushed us out of our comfort zone and made it uncomfortable for us, knowing that God was working out something that only God could work out. There is a familiar expression that says, no pain, no gain. You know that, right? And so we know also that in the birthing process, what sometimes leads the child to come and birth is the pain. It is preceded by pain, but after the pain, the child is born. Let me say that again. After the pain, the blessing arises. Anybody in here ever went through something that was real bad and didn't know how you were going to make it and thought you would lose your mind in the process, and you were mad at God? You were angry at God. But after it was all over, you realized that God had a plan. Look at somebody and say, God has a plan. And you know what? He doesn't have to share it with us. God is not obligated to tell us what he's up to. He's not obligated to tell us, I'm going to take you through this, and you're going to lose some jobs, some money, you're going to lose some relationships, and folk you thought loved you are going to let you down, and you're going to be hurt like you've never been hurt before. But when you come through all of that, I've got something greater for you. He doesn't have to tell you that. What God tells you is just, trust me, I have a plan. Look at somebody and say, he has a plan. Listen, throughout the Bible, many great testimonies were birthed out of what seemed to have been great tragedies. People became something after they went through something. Oh, let me say that again. I want you to catch this. Look at somebody and say, they became something after they went through something. Don't ever trust somebody who want to be something without going through something. Can I say that again? Don't ever trust somebody that want to lead you without ever having to go through something. Sometimes we don't know why we go through it. My mother and I were just talking the other day about my father's testimony, about all the things he went through, from drug addiction to leaving home at 16 to being on a racetrack, from breaking his mother's heart. Last time he saw his mother, he was 16. He was on a train. His mother got out of a sick bed, begged him not to go. He looked through the train window and waved bye. Next time he came home, his mother had been dead for a couple months. He missed the funeral. Missed his mother's funeral. In the process, he went to Rhode Island Rush. He traveled all over the world. He almost drowned. He was addicted to drugs, and he had all kinds of stuff. And we wonder, Lord, what were you up to? But God knew that in 1963, he and others would birth a ministry on Bluff Road in Arthurtown in the heart of the hood. And God knew that he needed to raise somebody up who just didn't have seminary knowledge. But God needed somebody with street knowledge who would be able to say to alcoholics and drug abusers and other folk, you can follow me because I've been through something. And when the Rosalie Napa showed up and the Josephine Anderson showed up, and when others showed up, they didn't show up to check out his resume, but he had a story to tell, to say, look what I've been through. Look at somebody and say, God had a plan. God had a plan. And oftentimes that plan involves great pain. Joseph became the governor of Egypt after, somebody say after, I'm going somewhere with this word. After he had been sold by his brothers. After he had been betrayed by Potiphar's wife, after he had been in a dungeon and a prison, then God elevated him to the governor of Egypt. And his brothers came and Joseph said, don't worry about it. No apologies are necessary, because what you meant for evil. Oh, I feel like preaching to somebody who's going through something. Don't fool me now. I know it's in the afternoon. You've been in church all day, but grab a neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, there's a reason for everything you go through. There's a reason for every demon you ever encounter, because what they meant for evil, God means it for your good. All I need is just a few witnesses that God made something good out of something bad. Feel like preaching now. Listen, Ruth. Somebody say, Sister Ruth. The Moabite woman who had lost her husband. Ruth, the woman who had lost everything. Ruth, the one who even went with her mother-in-law, Naomi, when her sister-in-law, Orpah, turned around and went back at Naomi's request. Ruth, who said to Naomi, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Ruth hit rock bottom. But if she had not ever hit rock bottom, she never would have met Boaz. Can I preach this? And out of the union between a Moabite, nappy-head, broke woman named Ruth and a blue-blooded, royal man named Boaz was born the lineage of David. And Ruth became David's grandmother because she hit rock bottom. Some of you ought to send the devil a thank you note and say thank you for your troubles, because I know it's just a setup for what God is about to do. Oh, I feel so. I got to get up out of here. But grab a neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, the more he persecute me, the more I'm gonna pray, because I know something good is gonna come after this. Look at your neighbor and say, there will be glory. After this. Anybody know that there's some glory with your name on it? If the devil knew that all he was doing was setting you up for something greater, he never would bother you. If he knew that the more he troubled you, the more God would bless you, he would never mess with you. But look at somebody, say, when God gets ready, he'll bless me. Look at somebody and say, bless. Tell your neighbor, bless. May I continue? David, after losing everything in 1 Samuel 30 in a place called Ziklag. Now note, after he had been anointed, he hit rock bottom. Most folk think after God anoints you and calls you that you're going to go up. But after David, in fact, David probably said, I wish they would have left me alone. I was better off being a shepherd boy, but I didn't get haters in my life until God anointed me. People who liked me before the anointing couldn't stand me after I was. I need to preach this. Folk that I used to go in their house and play instruments, and I was the mentee of Saul, and Saul who took me under his wings before my anointing. Once I got anointed, the spirit of jealousy showed up. And jealousy is crueler than the grave. And David said, I hit rock bottom. My brother said to me, who are you leaving those little sheep with? Saul tried to kill me. My father had no confidence in me. I was run out of my own country. I ended up in a place called Ziklag with only a handful of people who were worse off than me. While we were out chasing the bad guys, somebody showed up behind us and burned the camp to the ground. That's all I had, was this little camp. In fact, I had been anointed twice, but with no kingdom. That's a message I ought to preach one day. An anointing, but still waiting on your kingdom. Because you got folk now that want a kingdom the moment they get anointed. You'll have folk that are willing to wait on the kingdom. But David said, I've been anointed, but yet I have no kingdom. But I've learned how to wait on the Lord. How many of you are still waiting on your breakthrough? Camp burned down. Family kidnapped. Men threatening to stone you. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It was only after Ziklag, it was only after Saul tried to assassinate David, that God finally sent David to his kingdom. And then even those who were close to him did not want him to praise God. But they didn't know his story. Look at somebody and say, you don't know my story. Once you arrive, you can't get so cute that you forget to praise God. Even when David's own wife didn't want him to praise God, David said, woman, you're crazy. God has brought me from a mighty long way. When your daddy tried to kill me, that's what David told his wife, who was the daughter of Saul. When your father tried to kill me, God protected me. And now that the presence of God is back, I can dance more crazier than this. And I don't care who's watching me. I just need a few grateful praisers that know that God has brought you from a long ways. Don't fool me now. I just need a handful of choir members, a few deacons, a few preachers that know God has been so good to me that I owe him a praise. Come on, somebody. Woo! Somebody shout from devastation to transformation. Tell your neighbor I needed that. Or y'all sit down. Woo! Yeah. I came ready to preach this. And then Paul in Philippians, being in jail, Paul, who was the elite, Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the equivalent to a student at Harvard, Paul, who was circumcised the eighth day, Paul, who was on the fast track, Paul, who was called the up-and-comer, Paul, who was called most likely to succeed, finds himself in a Roman prison, having nothing. And the enemy attacked his conscience, said to Paul, look at you now, you've lost everything. But Paul picked up his pen and wrote to the Philippians in 3:7, what things were gained to me, these I count loss for Christ. I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, Paul was telling the devil, you didn't take it from me. I gave it up. How many of you give up what the devil think you ought to hold on to just to walk to the Lord? I need a few folk that are willing to give up something to tell the devil you can have it. Because all I need is the Lord in my life. Whew. And so we turn to the text. Your text for the year. We turn to the book of Joel chapter 2. And here it is. The nation of Israel had gone through a tremendous devastation. It was unparalleled. It was called, even in secular terms, the secular Jewish writer Josephus called this the great catastrophe of Israel. What happened was that the locusts descended on the land, and the locusts devoured the land, and what the locusts left, the cankerworm destroyed, and what the cankerworm left, the caterpillar destroyed. And so they woke up and they had nothing. They had lost everything. And then an invading army ascended on them, took them into captivity. So look at the nation of Judah, who are praisers by nature. I'm going somewhere. When you were born to praise God, the enemy will come to challenge your purpose. When you are born to be a worshiper, Denar, when you are born to lead folk in worship, Francis and Tom and others, the enemy will fight you guys like he's never fought anybody else. Because if I can get the praisers depressed, if I can steal your joy, if I can get you to hang your harps on the willow trees, then you won't be able to encourage anybody else. When the preachers get discouraged, then the enemy says, I can reach the masses. But when you know, and you know that you know, that God has something that's coming after this,
Look at your neighbor and say, after this, for Joel sends a word of restoration. He says the day will come that God will restore unto you the years that the locust and the caterpillar and the swarming locust and all of them ate and destroyed. Just hang in there, because one day you will eat and be satisfied. But that's not the goal. Here is the goal. I'm going to move you from devastation to transformation. And because you've gone through something, you're not ready for a change. Somebody lift your hands up and say, Lord, I'm ready for a change. I am ready for transformation. He says in verse 28, he says, and it shall come to pass. Look at this. After this, after what? After you've been through everything, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons who were silent and your daughters who were prohibited from speaking shall be prophets and prophetesses. I need to speak this word in here. After the devil gets finished messing with you, God said, I'm going to raise up your children, and they're going to be anointed like they've never been anointed before. Because what the enemy thought they could destroy, all the enemy did was gave us ammunition to build something greater. Grab a neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, after this comes the anointing. I'm going to raise up young people that will declare the word of the Lord. I'll raise up new generation. I raise them up. And when the devil thought he had cut off a generation, I raise up folk to stand before others and say, out of my mouth comes the word of God. And prophets, here it is, and prophetess will be birthed out of your struggle. Who am I preaching to? Out of this church, because of what you went through, God said, I'm a birth people that will proclaim God's word. You hadn't even seen it yet. They haven't even joined the church yet. But God said, I'm going to send some folk through those doors with testimonies. And because the devil couldn't destroy them, God's going to use them. Shake a neighbor by the hand like you're about to shake it off and say, neighbor, get ready for what's coming after this. Get ready for what's coming after this. After you've cried all night long, joy comes in the morning. After you walk the floor, God's gonna send deliverance. After the devil tried to destroy you, God's gonna send the breakthrough. God says something greater is coming after this. It's the process of transformation. And God said, I needed the locust. I needed the caterpillar. I needed the quaker worm to move you towards transformation. Because you never would have left if it was too comfortable. But I sent pain to move you from where you were, to usher you to a place where God wants you to be. Now here's what God says. Before the breakthrough, you're going to go through something. Before your miracle, I'm preaching to somebody, I'm prophesizing to somebody. God says you're going to go through something. Stand to your feet, everybody.